فخم. This year is being sponsored by Naomi Hitzik Belazon and family in memory of Shmuel ben Avram Mandara Zal. Last week we began to discuss some of the connection between the mitzvah of Tekiyas Shofar in Rosh Hashanah and the mitzvah of Tefillah in Rosh Hashanah. It's the two primary themes of what we spend most of the time doing in Rosh Hashanah. What I want to focus a little bit on today's year is to really extract one specific aspect of Hilchos Tefillah, which becomes really critical in terms of our understanding of the mitzvah of Tekiyas Shofar. So really to understand this, we have to go back to the Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the first of the Maamar Kamos, where the Mishnah discusses a very technical, what appears to be at first glance, a very technical question, which is really going to open up for us perhaps a better understanding of what Shofar is all about. The Mishnah begins by discussing what type of Shofar is kosher. So the Mishnah is pretty vehicle. Kol shofar is kosher. Any animal is okay. Any shofar from any animal is kosher. We mentioned last week that lechatchila, the Gemara said, is supposed to blow a shofar which is bent over. It's supposed to indicate the fact that the person is bowing down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But strictly speaking, even a straight shofar is kosher. Chutz mishal para. The only type of a shofar that's not acceptable is the horn of a cow. If neshu keren, because the horn of a cow is not a shofar. The Torah says, bavayit a shofar true, even though it doesn't use the word shofar actually by Rosh Hashanah. But it does use it by Yom Kippur and Yovel. So the halacha requires you have to blow a shofar. So the horn of a cow is not a shofar. The horn of a cow is a horn, is a keren. So therefore one would not be yotzi. Rabbi Yossi says that's a very difficult reason. The lo kol shofar is nikru keren. That the word shofar and the word keren are really interchangeable. The synonym, shenema b'mshoch b'keren ayovel. That you see that the Navi uses interchangeably the word keren, referring to a yovel, which yovel, the mafashim there said, refers to an aisle, specifically to a ram. So you see that a ram and a keren and a shofar, it's all the same thing. So how could the Chachamim say that the horn of a par is not acceptable if it's not called really called the shofar? It's not really true. So the Gemara elaborates upon this and says, no, there must be something else behind this. There must be some other reason why the Chacham disqualified the horn of a cow. So the second man makamas ula amar hayne tamei derabanan. The real reason why one cannot blow the shofar of a cow is kidder of chizda, the amr of chizda. How come on the day of the Kohen Gadol, the day of Yom Kippur, the highlight of the entire Avoda, when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so one would have expected that the Kohen Gadol wears the nicest possible begadim. He should have worn the big day zav. He should have worn the golden ornaments that he wears at other times during the year. So that's not the halacha. The halacha is that when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, he wears the simplest clothing. He wears only pure white, simple begadim, linen begadim, rather than wearing gold. Why is that? So it says, V'chizdo v'she'en kategor nasa sanegor, that that aspect of gold, which was something which was detrimental to Klal Yisrael, that was something which is negative about Klal Yisrael, because that symbolizes, of course, that reminds us of the Egel HaZahav. So the last thing we would want to do on Yom Kippur is to bring in the gold. The gold is something which is against us. The gold is the sultan. The gold is the kategor, is the prosecuting attorney. Lest we turn that into the sanegor, into the defense attorney, that would be very foolish of us. So therefore, we want to specifically leave out the gold when we come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur is a zman kapara, particularly a kapara for the Chet Egel. So the worst thing to do is to bring the gold, which would remind us of the Chet Egel, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So comes the Gemara and says that's the reason for the Kohen Gadol not wearing gold on Yom Kippur. But we really are so concerned with this. Ma'ika dam par. The halacha is that you bring the blood of a par, and a par is a bull. That's an eagle, basically. It's a grown-up eagle, becomes a par. So here on Yom Kippur, on the one hand, you're telling me that you don't want to bring gold because you don't want to have the slightest remembrance of the Chet Egel. So on the other hand, we're bringing an animal which was also reminiscent of the Chet Egel. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a problem. Hold the ishtini ishtini, that you're not bringing the animal into the Kodesh HaKadosh, and bring the blood. The blood is already different. The blood is already one step removed. So it's not such a remembrance of the Chet Egel. So the Gemara gets very, very technical and says, Vahaika, Aron, Vekaporis, Akruv. There are things in the Kodesh HaKadosh themselves which are made out of gold. The Aron itself was made out of gold. The Kaporis, the covering of the Aron, was made out of gold. The Kruvim were made out of gold. So you have to be consistent. If you're really concerned with bringing gold into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so how come you let gold be there the rest of the year? So says the Gemara, Chote Bal Yaakov Karmina. No, the problem is that you shouldn't bring a carbon of gold. You shouldn't bring something, B'shas HaKarava, when you're coming in to bring a carbon, so you shouldn't have any gold present. So with the Kohen Gadol, to wear gold, B'shas HaVodah, that's the problem. The fact that the Oren is gold, that doesn't concern us. So the Gemara says, no, Vayika Kafu Machta. There were other things that were brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, which was used to hold the Ketores, which was also made of gold, and we're not concerned with that. The Gemara says, no, Chodei Bal Yizna Karmina. It means that I shouldn't be wearing gold. The person himself shouldn't be wearing gold. So Vayika Big Dezov Mibachut. So the Gemara says, but the Kohen Gadol wore Big Dezov, he wore gold outside. When he did other things in Yom Kippur, he did wear gold. The only time he took the gold off was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Gemara says, no, mi bifnim kamrinan. The only time there's a problem of ein kategor, nasa senegor, the only time we want no gold, that's only inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. If Mamash holding inside the holiest of the holy, then gold doesn't belong on Yom Kippur. So comes the Gemara and says, we just limited this principle of ein kategor, nasa senegor. We watered it down so much that it basically doesn't apply. The only thing that we're opposed to using gold is only in a situation inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So shofar nami b'chutzu. So why are you concerned with using the shofar of a cow? Because you don't want to remind us of the Cheta Ego. You don't want to remember the terrible aveir of Cheta Ego. So therefore don't use a shofar of a cow. But you're not blowing shofar in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You're blowing shofar in shul. So you have to be consistent. If the problem of Ein Kategor Nasa Senegor is only applicable in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so why do we get so concerned about shofar? Why do we disqualify the shofar of a cow because we don't want to remember the Chet Egel? What's the big deal? Well, it's not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So here the Gemara gives such a powerful statement, Kevendo Zikaronu Ki Befinim Dami, that the purpose of the shofar is to bring our Zichronos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara, Al Pi Halacha, Al Pi Din, the blowing of the shofar has the halachic status of Kodesh HaKadoshim. We usually think, Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's a Kohen Gadol, you need Yerushalayim, you have to go to the mikveh 5 times, that's Yom Kippur, once a year, Zara Karav Yumas. So the Gemara is saying, no, that's one type of Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then there's another kind of Kodesh HaKadoshim. You want to know what Lefnai V'Lefnim that each and every one of us experiences? You can experience the same Lefnai V'Lefnim, the same Kodesh HaKadoshim that the Kohen Gadol experiences once a year in Yom Kippur, B'Kiddush of Tahara. We experience that B'Shas Tekiyah Shofar. That's exactly what the Gemara says. I just added to it a little bit, but that's what the Gemara says. Kevan do zikaronu ki b'fnim domi. Since the purpose of the Tekiyah Shofar is to mala zichroneinu lefnei avinu shebashamayim. So it's ki'ilu, when we blow shofar, we're standing in Tinek and blowing shofar, it's ki'ilu we're standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and there are halachic ramifications of that statement, and the most critical halachic ramification for this sugya is that we cannot have the Cheta Egel present. Just as you can't have any remnant, any whatsoever, any zecher of the Cheta Egel on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, similarly you can't have any remembrance whatsoever of the Cheta Egel at every Rosh Hashanah, at any place in the world where you're blowing, because Kevan was the Karan Huki B'Fnim Dami. So this statement of the Gemara, that Tekiyah Shofar has that aspect of being omed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, of being omed lefnai v'lefnim, so this may have other ramifications v'halacha as well. There is a sugyum, appears in the third of the Marmakomos, the sugyum of Sechas Rosh Hashanah, it's a famous sugyum we spoke about the previous years, we've touched on some aspects of the sugyum. The Gemara raised the following shayla, Sholcholei li'avuah di Shmuel, there was a message that was sent to the father of Shmuel, Kofoi v'ochol matzah yotzah, that if a person is forced into eating matzah, so he's technically yotzei the mitzvah. What does this mean? So the Gemara has a whole discussion. What does it mean? But at the end, the Gemara concludes, what it means is if you skip down to the next line, the end of the line, Amar Rav Ashi, shekafu parsiyim. What it means is that he was forced into doing the mitzvah that he really wasn't interested in doing. Normally, a person eats matzah on Pesach night because he wants to be yotzei the mitzvah erev tochel matzah. So this guy is eating the matzah, he's doing the same ma'isa mitzvah, but he's lacking in the kavanas mitzvah, that he's doing a mitzvah, but he's not intending to fulfill the mitzvah. So that touches on the sugya called mitzvah strichos kavana or mitzvah ein strichos kavana. When a person does a mitzvah, is it absolutely critical that they have the proper intent to be yotzei the mitzvah, and only if that intent is present Are they in fact yotzei the mitzvah? Should we say no? The mitzvahs ain't shichas kavana. That if a person does the ma'aseh mitzvah, even though the proper intent wasn't present, they could still be yotzei the mitzvah. So what's the halacha? Comes the Gemara and says, even though it was somebody was pushing you, was forcing you to eat matzah, and you really didn't want to be yotzei, you're still going to be yotzei the mitzvah. Amar Rava, Zoso Meres, from this statement of Avuah de Shmuel, we can infer the following. Let's say it's Kir Shofar Rosh Hashanah. A person wakes up in the morning and he has a tremendous desire to blow the sounds of a shofar, not to be yotzei the mitzvah. He likes the sound. Kir Lashir. A very musical person. So he takes the shofar and he starts playing around a little bit. He plays the Yankee Doodle a little bit. He plays other nigunim. And then he starts blowing a doo, 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 doo. It sounds nice. And he loves it. He blows three of those and three of shvarims and three truas. At the end of the day, he blew everything kedasach in, but he really didn't have in mind to be yotzei the mitzvah. Is he yotzei or is he not yotzei? So comes Rav and says, is yotzei? Zelso meres at the kelashir yotzei. Just as the person who ate matzah without the proper intent is yotzei the mitzvah, he doesn't have to repeat it. So to the person who blew the shofar, heard the shofar without the proper intent, is also going to be yotzei. So come to the Gemara and says, pshita, it's obvious. It means if you're yotzei by matzah, so you're yotzei by shofar. What do you need Rava to tell me? Zelso meres. This is the chiddush that you even yotzei by shofar. Hainu hach, it's the same thing. Mal detem, I might have said, when it comes to achilas matzah, so there it's only a ma'aseh mitzvah. It's only an action. So did the matzah go down in the esophagus or did it not go down? If it went down, you're yotzei. If it didn't go down, you're not yotzei. So what do I care what the person's kavana was? So maybe one could argue that if the mitzvah of achilas matzah is such, it doesn't really matter whether you had kavana or not. But when it comes to tekiyah shofar, so the Torah says there's more to it than that. It's more than just blowing shofar. It's more than just hearing the sounds of the shofar. It has to make a roshim. It has to make an impact on you. You have to understand that zichron, zeichel, iskor. You have to be thinking about it. You have to be paying attention to it. So if you just go through the physical action of blowing or hearing the shofar, maybe you're not yotzei. So kamash b'lon that it's not true. Kamash b'lon the Gemara that you are yotzei. That mitzvos ain't shvichos kavana applies not only to matzah, but it applies even to the more stringent mitzvah of tekiyah shofar. So if one would walk away from this Gemara, one would conclude that halach l'maisa, what's the din? That the mitzvah is trichos kavana, mitzvah is not trichos kavana. So if you would just learn the sugya in Rosh Hashanah, you would assume that mitzvahs ain't trichos kavana. That one need not have the intention b'shas ha-mitzvah to be yotzei. As long as you went through the mechanical rote, you did the mitzvah, even if you had it for some other reason, you would still be yotzei. The problem is there are other Gemaras in Shas that seem to assume that mitzvah is trichos kavanas. This was, in fact, a big machlokes in the Rishonim. How should we paskin? Should we paskin trichos kavanah, ain't trichos kavanah? But the only thing that seems pretty clear is that all mitzvahs are on the same level. If you decide that mitzvah is trichos kavanah, that's fine. If you decide mitzvahs ain't trichos kavanah, that's also okay. The only thing is that you better be consistent. You better be the same by all mitzvahs. So who, of course, is not consistent? The Rambam. Comes the Rambam, not the first time, not the last time. The Rambam comes and tells us, no, there are different rules for different mitzvahs. So what does that mean? Says the Rambam in the fourth of the Rambam Kamos, HaMisasek B'tkiyah Shofar L'Islamet, if a person is blowing shofar in order to learn how to blow, but he's not interested in being yotzei the mitzvah, Lo yotzei de chavaso, he does not fulfill his Torah obligation of tkiyah shofar. Similarly, if you hear the shofar from somebody else who's just blowing just for the kicks, just to practice, so you're also not yotzei. Niskavin shamei latzei de chavaso, v'lo niskavin atakir latzio. Oshin niskavin atakir latzio, v'lo niskavin shamei latzei. If either one of those two is lacking, if either the Baal Tekei is not having in mind, or the person who's hearing is not having in mind, lo yotzei de chavaso, achis kavin shamei mashmir. Ram couldn't be more explicit than that. He says it in three different ways, the same thing. That you require kavanas hashemeya, you require kavanas hatakeya. Tekiyah shofar without kavana is meaningless. One does not fulfill the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar whatsoever if one does not have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah. So this Rambam seems to be assuming that mitzvah is trichos kavana, that without kavana, so a mitzvah is totally worthless. The problem is the Rambam in the fifth of the Maamar Kamos, in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Ochel matzah below kavana. If a person ate matzah without the proper intent, kagon shansu goyim listim. Somebody came to beat him up. It's very strange that people are beating him up to eat matzah. Whatever it is, someone's forcing him to eat matzah. So yotzei de chavaso. So the Rambam says you are yotzei. You fulfill the mitzvah. So everybody is bothered with this problem. How could the Rambam in Hilchos Shofar says that Tkiya Shofa without Kavanah is meaningless. Where the Rambam Minuchas Matzah says that Achilas Matzah without Kavanah is meaningful. How can it be? What's the difference between Achilas Matzah on the one hand and Tkiya Shofa on the other hand? So it would appear what the Rambam is telling us is the following Yisod. That there are different types of mitzvahs. There are some mitzvahs which are pure Maisa mitzvah. There's an action that has to be done, and that's it. So the question is, did you do the action, did you not do the action? If you did the action, you might say, it would have been nice if you would have had the right intention, it would have been nice if you would have been thinking about a little of the holier thing. But tachlis, bottom line, the food went down, so you yaitse the mitzvah. So achilas matzah is that type of a mitzvah, which is a pure Maisa mitzvah. Then you have other types of mitzvahs, where there are dual aspects of the mitzvah. There's the Maisa mitzvah, and then there's a kavanas mitzvah, that the halacha could be certain very specific mitzvahs where one is required to have kavana, and the lacking of kavana is a pagam, is a chisaron, shows that there's something lacking in the very mitzvah itself. This is not a din klali, this is not a din that applies by all mitzvahs. The Rambam does not paskin mitzvah sichas kavana in general. The Rambam doesn't say that every single mitzvah under the sun requires kavana, because haraya, the Rambam says matzah, doesn't require it. But there are a few mitzvahs here and there where the Rambam clearly is assuming that not having kavana is such an integral part, the kavana is such an integral part of the mitzvah, that not having kavana will, in effect, cause you not to be able to the mitzvah at all. And the Rambam puts tkiya shofar in that category. So how do we understand that? What is that all about? That tkiya shofar requires kavana to such an extent, according to the Rambam, that the lack thereof will disqualify the mitzvah. So perhaps the answer to this can be found in a Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah. The Rambam in the sixth of the Marmakomos discusses something that's hard for us to talk about, the notion of kavana during a tefillah, but in theory, let's talk at least in the theoretical point of view, the idea of having kavana b'tefillah. So the Rambam tells us a little bit about what kavana b'tefillah is all about. So the Rambam in the sixth of the Marmakomos, Kavanas aleif keitzad. What do we mean when the halacha requires that you have to have kavana when you daven? So comes the Rambam and says pretty strongly, kol tefillah she'ena b'kavana, eina tefillah. So the Rambam says, lest the person think that, you know, okay, I daven, but I didn't have kavana, so it's also okay. It's like 75% good, 25% good. The Rambam starts out by saying, tefillah b'li kavana is not really a tefillah altogether. Then the Rambam says, just in case you didn't get the point the first time, in his pala below kavana, chozer mispala b'kavana, that if a person daven without kavana to start with, so then he has to daven over again with kavana. Then the Rambam goes, just in case you didn't get that point, so the Rambam says it a third time. Matzah daita mishubeshes libo torud. Let's say a person is so submished, he's got so many things on his mind that he just can't. So says the Rambam, osulo lispala achetis yashav daito. So he's got to relax, he's got to get a grip on himself before it's permitted for him to daven. So the Rambam is pretty clear in this halacha that kavana is such an integral part of tefillah that its lack will disqualify the tefillah altogether. But now comes the Rambam in Halacha Tezayin and defines what exactly is this kavana all about. In the first Halacha, he told you that you need the kavana, and now he starts to tell you a little bit what is this kavana. So says the Rambam in Halacha Tezayin, it's the same Marmachom, just in Marmachom number 6. Keitzad hi hakavana sheyafana es libo mikol hamachshavos. That's the defining feature of kavana. You want to know what kavana b'tefillah means? It means one thing and one thing alone, at this point at least, is that the kavana, as we say, do they have one here? Dalef le'echei, some many Arab countries have. Dalef le'echei, do they have one over here? Dalef le'echei, tal meid. So that's what the Rambam is saying, that the knowledge, the awareness, being cognizant of the fact that you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the kavana that the Rambam was talking about. But now comes the Rambam and starts to give us a whole different presentation of what Kavanah B'Tefillah is all about. That's in Maramachal number 7. So, Nisha is Pala V'lo Kibin Es Limo, Yachzav is Pala V'Kavanah. So the Rambam says, if a person daven but didn't have Kavanah, he should repeat the Shemona Esrei. Now notice, number 1, the Rambam here didn't speak so harshly, didn't start out by saying, Kol She is Pala V'lo Kibin, Ilo is Pala Klal. He doesn't say that. He just says, Kol She his power of lo kiven, so yachsav his power. Now the Ram comes up with an even bigger kula of him kiven es liva bebracha rishona shuvei notzarech. And if a person had kavana for the first bracha, the bracha of avos, so no, as long as he was able to out-cup to magen Avram, so then he's okay. Then b'diavad, he's home free.
So Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, as Chedushim and the Rambam, points out that these two Rambam seem to contradict each other. The Rambam in Maror Mokom number 6 in Perek Dalet, so comes at you with fire and brimstone, called tefillah, she'ein eva kavana, ein aklum, it's nothing, it's usler, it's a disaster, it's meaningless what you did. And in that Perek, in Maror Mokom number 6, the Rambam doesn't start to whittle it down and say, well, that means you have to have kavana for the first bracha. The Rambam says, kol tefillah she'ena b'kavana, eina tefillah. It's meaningless, it's zero, it's keman deleis, it's botel mevutel. In Maror Mokom number 7, the Rambam's very, very lenient. The Rambam says, yeah, if Avi should have kavana, you should try your best, then if you do it in the first one, then it's okay, then we'll give you a green light, so v'diyevan you yotze tefillah. So my eye, what changed in the different prokham? How come in Perek Dalet the Rambam comes down so hard and says that's Eina Tefillah Klal, and the Rambam says there's no difference in the first bracha and the last bracha? It's only in Perek Yud where the Rambam changes the tune, and the Rambam says that, well, it's not so terrible, Tefillah B'li Kavana. And number 2, as long as you chap the right Kavana in the first bracha, then you're okay. What's going on? So Reb Chaim, in classic brisk style, so Reb Chaim says what the Rambam is really telling us is that there are two different types of kavana. There are two distinct halachas of kavana that are taking place here. We mentioned before, based on the other Rambam, the Rambam defines kavana as yira atzmu kilu omri lefne hashchina. So says Reb Chaim, that's kavana number 1. Kavana that a person is omri lefne Hashem, that is the kavana that the Rambam meant when he says that kol tefilash ain't a kavana, ain't a tefilah. If a person doesn't have that basic understanding that the omri lefne Hashem, basic cognizance, that the fact that they're in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that is not considered to be a tefillah. That's absolutely what you're just mouthing words. You're just saying words, but you're not even at all aware of the fact that you're over the Tnei Hashem. That's command the lace. That's as if you didn't daven. And says Reb Chaim, that din applies to the entire Shemoneh Esrei. There's no difference in the first bracha, the last bracha. It's all the same. If a person loses sight of the fact that he's over the Tnei Hashem, so that cannot label that as tefillah. Kavana of Omer Lefnei Hashem is not something which is external to tefillah. It's not an additional fulfillment. That is the very definition of tefillah. Tefillah means, by its very words, its very name, means that you mispalel Lefnei Hashem. So if you don't know that you're Lefnei Hashem, what in effect, you're saying words out of a siddur, but you're not being considered to be mispalel. What the Rambam means in the second of the Maror Mokom, Maror Mokom number 7, is a totally different thing. What the Rambam means is that in addition to being cognizant of the fact that you're Omer Lefnei Hashem, a person should understand what he's saying. It means a person may not know any Hebrew at all. So he's saying, Baruch Hashem, Lokeinu Kavetenu. He's thinking, Dalef Le'emir Ta'omir, it's Meiridik, Terabon Shalom, Shechina, the Kisikov of the works. And he doesn't have a clue to what he's saying. He doesn't understand what Elokeinu, Velokeinu, Se'elokeinu. He doesn't understand the words. So that's what the Rambam means in Halacha 7, that's a problem. That a person, in addition to the basic Kavana of Kavanas Amin Lefnei Hashem, a person is also supposed to have Kavanas Ha'inyan, Kavanas Perish Hamilim. But via, says Reb Chaim, the halacha is much more makel. Via, the halacha is that if a person has that perish amilos, he understands what he's saying for the first bracha, so then he's okay. That's the ikar tefillah, that's the ikar shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then the b'yavad of Shemoneh Esrei is good. If a person loses sight of the Omer Lefnei Hashem anywhere along the Shemoneh Esrei, then he blew it. Then he lost his entire Shemoneh Esrei. Masha Ein Kein, if he loses sight of the second part of his kavana, the second part of the kavana is the kavanas perish amilim. So says Reb Chaim, that's okay. That's a different kavana, a whole different ballgame. So this yesod of Reb Chaim, something the Chazon Ish writes on this Reb Chaim, that Reb Chaim's right that the person has to have kavana of emunas in Hashem from the first word to the last word. Says the Chazon Ish, he's not sure there's any ever a person from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu until today who ever was Yotzei Shemoneh Esrei. He says, you have to keep that in mind. Every single second of Shemoneh Esrei. That's quite a tough call. But at least to a certain level, a person has to be aware, whether he has to be actively cognizant of it, but or whatever other terms you want to use. But if a person totally loses sight of the fact that it's Amud Lefnei Hashem, so that the definition is not considered to be a tefillah. So this understanding, this Bir of Reb Chaim, so basically what it's telling us is that certain types of mitzvahs which carry with them this idea of being Lefnei Hashem, so those are different types of mitzvahs. When a person, l'marshal, eats matzah on Pesach night, so we don't make believe that we're being under the Fnei Hashem, we're being Yosha Fnei Hashem, you're doing a mitzvah. So when I sit down in Tinek and I eat a Kedais and Matzah, so I'm in Tinek, that's it. I'm not under the Fnei Hashem, I'm not Yosha. I'm sitting wherever, Bashi Hashem, wherever I am, I'm fulfilling my mitzvah. Other types of mitzvahs also. The guy he has Kriyas and Megillah. He's not under the Fnei Hashem when he's reading the Megillah. He's reading the Megillah wherever in the world, he's reading the Megillah. But there are certain mitzvahs that have that dimension of bringing you literally in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So those mitzvahs, that's the key. Those are the mitzvahs that bring you, mamish lefnai v'lefnim, quote the Lashon Gemara before, mitzvahs that have the dimension of being amid lefnei Hashem. So you can't be amid lefnei Hashem if you're not aware of the amid lefnei Hashem. You can't get there. The whole point of the mitzvah is to create that feeling of the amid lefnei Hashem, and you're not paying attention to that, so then you're missing the entire yesod of the mitzvah. So perhaps that's why the Rambam singles out the mitzvah of tekiyas shofar as being that type of a mitzvah that requires kavanah above and beyond any other mitzvah. Achilas matzah? No. It's a nice mitzvah, achilas matzah, but it doesn't make you lifnei amid lifnei Hashem. So therefore you don't require that special aspect of kavanah. It's only tekiyas shofar that has that aspect to it. And where did the Rambam see in the Gemara this notion that tekiyas shofar is different, that tekiyas shofar is the amid lifnei Hashem par excellence? That was the first sugya that we started out with. That all of the mitzvahs, we don't care about in kateg and asa sinegar. We use gold in our mitzvahs. We use cows in our mitzvahs. It doesn't concern us. The only mitzvahs that we stop and we think, wait a second, we don't want to bring the egel azov in here. So that's the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur. He goes lefnai v'lefnim and tekiyas shofar. That's the malah zecharenenu lefnei avinu shebashamayim. That's a different kind of a mitzvah. That's a lefnei Hashem dika mitzvah. You can't bring gold in there. No cheta egel in there. Oh, but that's the mitzvah of Amid Lefnei Hashem. So just as the Chostila, you require that Yira Atzma Kilo Amid Lefnei Hashchina, the person who blows shofar and is not thinking the fact that he's blowing Lefnei Hashchina, that he's thinking he's Tokel Hashir, he's blowing for music, so that's not a Tekiyas Shofar. That's a Chisun, that's a Pagam in the very essence of Tekiyas Shofar. This idea that Tekiyas Shofar has the aspect of bringing us close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of being made mamish and the Kodesh HaKadosh of Lefnei Hashem. So this may be true not only about Tekiyas Shofar, but this may be true about really our whole niyug and the whole way that we celebrate the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. There is a major question that we've shown him about the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov as it relates to Rosh Hashanah and to a lesser degree for Yom Kippur as well. Usually we associate the mitzvah of Samachta b'chagecha, v'isach sameach, that's a sukkistika mitzvah, a pesachtika mitzvah, shavuistika mitzvah. Rosh Hashanah, that really is man of Simchas Yom Tov. I mean, it's Kedushas Yom Tov, but it really is man of Simchas Yom Tov. This was a big machlokes of Rishonim. In fact, there were different minhagim in the days of the Rishonim, in the Nusach HaTfilah, whether you say, v'atitin lanu Hashem lakena be'ava, Moadim l'simcha chag b'zman l'sosom, that we say in the Shalosh Ragov, should you say that in Rosh Hashanah? So some Rishonim said, yeah, others said, no, our meaning is not to say it. We say, v'atitin lanu Hashem lakena be'ava, as Yom HaZikaron is there. We skip right away to mentioning the fact that it's Rosh Hashanah. We don't mention the fact that it's sasson v'simcha. And other Rishonim said you should mention it. So the Rambam was quite clear that there is a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov on Rosh Hashanah. The Rambam in the 8th of the Ma'amakomos, Shivas Yimei HaPesach, Ushmonis Yimei HaChag, Imshar Yom Tovim, Kulam Asur Me'etzbe V'taynes. So the Rambam says that the 7 days of Pesach and there's 8 days of Sukkot with all the other Yom Tovim have an issur of having eulogies and fasting. V'chayv Adam Liyosperim Samech V'tov Lev, Hu V'vana V'ishto V'nei Beis, etc. Everyone, the whole family is required to be in the state of joy, of Simcha on all the Yom Tovim. So what are all these Yom Tovim exactly? The Shivas Yimei HaPesach and the Shmonis Yimei HaChag and the other Yom Tovim. So last we checked the calendar, there's only one other regal. So the Rambam ben Shavuos, he should have said, Shivas Yimei HaPesach, Shmonis Yimei HaChag, V'Atzeres. What do you mean, Shai Yom Tovim? Shai Yom Tovim means any other day. That's called Yom Tov. So Rosh Hashanah is also Yom Tov. Rosh Hashanah is clearly Yom Tov. You have the dinim, the Yisur Malach apply in Rosh Hashanah. So obviously the Rambam meant to include in that phrase that there's a mitzvah derais. So the Rambam's talking on a level of derais of Simchas Yom Tov on Rosh Hashanah. So the question is, well, how do we understand that? Why should that be, that notion of Simchas Yom Tov and Rosh Hashanah? What's that all about? So the Rav had a beautiful biur in terms of understanding what Simchas Yom Tov and all the Yom Tov were all about. The Rav explained that really the mechayev, the driving force behind the idea of simcha on Yom Tov, is the fact that on Yom Tov a person is olah l'regel. We know that the primary celebration of Simchas Yom Tov in the days of the Beis HaMikdash was the visiting the Beis HaMikdash, the partaking of the special karbanos of simcha, which were eaten outside of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. the fact which led some Rishonim to say that there's really no mitzvah Simchas Yontov b'zman hazeh. There's man she'en beis hamikdash, so Simchas Yontov is only midrabbanan. Chaykes harishonim. But clearly, even those who disagree, even those who say that there is an idea of Simchas Yontov min haTorah b'zman hazeh, the idea of Simchas Yontov is linked to Aliyah l'Regel. It's linked to the notion that you're coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you mean you're coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So in a very real sense of the word, you're coming with Hashem. I mean, the whole mechayev of Simcha is coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is that? So the pasuk says that oz v'chedva v'mkomo, that the true joy in this world is being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything else that that we, quote-unquote, we think makes us happy, so those are all olam hadimyonos. Those are all things that in our own imagination are full of joy. But the only real joy in the world is being in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when comes a Pesach and you have to be oil regel, so the Shas Aliyah l'Regel creates that feeling of oz v'chedva v'mkomo, and that's the mechayev of Simchas Yontov. And mechayev on Shavuos and on Sukkos as well. So Aliyah l'Regel on Yontov creates a feeling of Simcha, and that's the mechayev of v'samachta b'chagecha. So now the problem becomes, on Rosh Hashanah, there is no Aliyah l'Regel. On Yom Kippur, for sure, there's no Aliyah l'Regel. So how can you even dream of there being a mitzvah of Simchas Yontov and Rosh Hashanah if the whole mechayev of Rosh Hashanah, the whole mechayev of Simcha doesn't exist in Rosh Hashanah? So the Rav explained that there's a second way of creating that Omed Lifnei Hashem. There's a second way of becoming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's based on the fact that what ultimately separates between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the pasuk says, "Rachav Ono Seichem Avdil Beneichem Uvein Elokeichem." And a person does Aveira, so those Aveira, slowly but surely, each word of Lashon Hara, each mitzvah that we don't do properly, each Aveira, slowly but surely, creates a separation, creates a barrier between us and the Rebbe Shalom. Now comes Rosh Hashanah, and there's such a mechitza shel barzel, beineinu v'navinu shebashamayim, so a person feels such a zad distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now comes the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, comes the Tekiah Shofar, and what does the Tekiah Shofar do for us? Tekiah Shofar is Mala Zichroneinu from the Avinu Shebashamayim, as the Rambam says in so beautifully in the Chos Tshuva, that the Shofar is a wake-up call, it's the Kol Korei, it gives us the alarm that makes us begin the Tshuva process, that the Shofar starts the Tshuva process. So once a person starts to be Chayzi B'Tshuva, once a person starts to chip away at those Aveira, so the Mechitza Shabazza falls by the wayside, and once literally the iron curtain falls down, so now you become, where are you on Rosh Hashanah? So the same way that in the Sholosh Regalim, you have a physical Aliyah L'Regel, you go visit the Rebbe Shalom physically, you go to the Beis HaMikdash, and Rosh Hashanah, it's not a physical Aliyah L'Regel. Rosh Hashanah, you stay home. You don't go Aliyah L'Regel on Rosh Hashanah, but you have a spiritual Aliyah L'Regel. It means you come close to HaKadosh Baruch and Rosh Hashanah, once the Aveira starts to disappear, so that Kirvas Elokim comes back. Once that Kirvas Elokim comes back, that creates a Chi of Simcha. That's the Oz Bechevim Komo. That's the whole Mahus, the whole Yom of Rosh Hashanah, is to create that Din of Omid Lifnei Hashem, that it's created through the Tekiah Shofar, through the beginning of the Tshuva process, to enable us to be Omid Lifnei Hashem, which of course the Mefarshim explained. That's why the opening words of the parsha that's always read right before Rosh Hashanah, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kuchem Lifnei Hashem Lakechem, that literally, that's it. Al zeh ne'emar on Rosh Hashanah, that we're standing mamish lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that creates in a person a tremendous sense of simcha. That creates in a person the true, the ultimate oz v'chedva v'mkomo. So just to conclude, that's what the Acharonim write at the very end of Hilchos Purim, that the Ramah concludes Arachayim. The very last words of the Ramah and Arachayim, the Ramah is talking about when you have a Purim Katan, like this year, you have the two others. So the Ramah quotes Machlekes, he's supposed to have a Suda on Purim Katan, the Yudal and Adar in the first month. So the Ramah quotes a Shaila, and then the Ramah says, yeah, it's a good idea. And then the Ramah concludes by saying, Tov Leiv Mishneh Tamid. And someone with a good heart, so he doesn't mean Chalil Chalil getting drunk, he means a good heart, so you have a Suda, you have a party, it's good, it's wonderful, it's a great thing, Tov Leiv Mishneh Tamid, another Simcha Shal Mitzvah. So the Mefarshim point out that if you look carefully, the opening lines of the Ramah and Arachayim, the very first thing the Ramah says is, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, who called God of the Torah of Malas HaTadik, it's even a song, no? Shalchem Lefnei Elokim. So the Ramah began Arachayim with the word Tamid, and he concludes Arachayim with the word Tamid. He starts Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, and he ends with Tov Leiv Mishneh Tamid. So it wasn't by coincidence. What the Ramah wanted to teach you, he wanted to know what Arachayim means. Arachayim means the daily life of a Jew. So you want to know, what does it mean? You want to have Tov Lev Mishta Tamid. You want to be in a state of mitzvah, Yibel Leo specifically. You want to be the Simcha Tamid. So there's only one way to do it. You can't just have the drinking without the first half. That's not a simcha. That's what the Rambam says. That's a simcha hakeres. That's filling up your stomach. That's not a simcha sanefesh. The only way to be yaitzei, toiv like mishta tamid, is to have shavis Hashem l'neg nisamid. When you have a Kadosh Baruch Hu in front of you all the time, through his Torah, through his mitzvahs, through his avodas Hashem, so that fills a person with a tremendous sense of simcha. So that's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. And the goal of Rosh Hashanah is to create the status and halacha of oimed lifnei Hashem. It's created through our tkiyah shofar, it's created through our tefillah. So as we spoke about last week, we spoke about the connection between the tkiyah shofar enhances the tefillah enhances the tkiyah shofar, both the tkiyah shofar and the tefillah combined together to try to create for us that feeling of being under the Tnei Hashem, and hopefully we should be zaycha to reach that level in all senses of the word of ozich edin kama.
What's the schedule for some?
Clovis?
Next week's not sure. The question is just on the tshuva, and are there other things happening that week?